And not only is it good to be here with each of you, but it is good also to hear the voice of God say to us, "Peace be with you." And we certainly pray that we can hear him speak to us. Our message today from this Transfiguration Sunday is taken from Matthew chapter 17. That voice, the voice of the Father of creation, the voice of Jesus, our Savior, that voice speaks from the cloud and says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That's God speaking to us, and we pray that we can hear that as well. You know, I searched on the internet and found a painting that I thought was a halfway decent representation of what that transfiguration moment might have been like, to just sort of be dozing on a day after a long journey up the mountain and to see that sight, to see Jesus not as they had experienced him, as the one who was thirsty and would cry, the one who would weep with those who were mourning, the one who would heal and lay his hands, the ones who would multiply the loaves and fishes, the ones who got his hands dirty down caring for others. They instead saw Jesus as he is now in heaven, as he had been before he came as the babe in Bethlehem. They saw him, as one of the other gospels says, in clothes whiter than any bleach could make them. They saw him in his brilliance. They saw him talking to Moses, the symbolic representation of the first part of the Old Testament, the law, and Elijah talking to the second part of the Old Testament, the prophets. The gospel tells us later on that they were speaking to Jesus about his exodus, about his departure, about how he would leave this world. And for you and I who know the story, that leaving was through a cross and through suffering and through unimaginable weakness and stretching and pain, for we who know that part of the story, to get to see this moment of Jesus' glory is really quite something. Really quite something to see that beauty. And we have to realize that, as I tried to demonstrate with the children in the message, that there are an awful lot of voices competing right now. Even if you just looked at the political world, elect me, elect me, elect me, or tweet out, "I've already been elected, elect me back," you know, all those things that are going on in that area. Or you walk down the toothpaste aisle, and there are the blinking lights of this coupon to buy this toothpaste. Mine will make your teeth shine brighter than the other. Something like 145 different kinds of hair products in your average HEB. That surprised me when I asked a sales clerk that. Just amazing, all these voices competing. Buy me, use me, put me in your hair. I'll make you cool. I'll make you stronger. I'll make you richer. I'll make more people like you. All of these voices competing and shouting, pay attention to me, I can guide you. And somehow, some way, even with those voices, the voice of our own desires, our own flesh, the voice of our conscience saying, watch out, you know, little Jiminy Cricket, or our little angel of our better nature on our shoulder. Somehow in all that, we also remember the Bible talks to us about God having a still small voice. In this passage, perhaps it's very clear and booming and it catches the disciples' attention. But in other places where it talks about that still small voice, perhaps in our own experience, we'd agree there are times when it is hard to hear God. Even when microphones go out, it gets harder and harder. Sometimes it is really challenging to hear God over all the noise of our pain, the voice of shame or of self-condemnation or even the world's condemnation and bullying. It can be hard to hear that voice of love in the midst of all that. And that's why this story today is so important for us, that we hear that. That's why what Peter was getting at when he wrote later in life, as he wrote his second letter out to the churches or around the world and said, you know what, I'm just reflecting on this and I want to share it with you. That this isn't just, you know, some idea that we shared this legend or we told you this amazing story. We were eyewitnesses. We saw him. We heard that voice thundering from the mountaintop. We saw Moses and Elijah, and that was really cool, and I got caught up in that moment. But as the voice reminded me, Jesus was most important. And when the cloud was gone and we opened our eyes from the shock of it all, Jesus was the only one we saw. And he's the only one we have followed. And he's the only one you need. This eyewitness aspect of what 2 Peter had to say, eyewitnesses of his majesty. They were also eyewitnesses of his compassion, were they not? They were eyewitnesses of his grace as he cries out on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It is finished. And all the other words that he spoke from that cross, they were eyewitnesses of his incredible power as he rose again in the resurrection and said, peace be with you. And they were eyewitnesses of his invitation to continue following him and then share him with all the world, making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, when I do a baptism here, I try to take these words that were spoken over Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration and were spoken over him at his baptism. Because I really believe, as our prayer this morning said, they're a whisper to us from God as well. He has called us his beloved daughters and sons, with whom he is well pleased because of the work of Jesus on the cross, with whom he is well pleased, with whom he loves. He calls you. You are my beloved child, whom I love. And when the voice is inside of us going, well, why does life hurt so much? Why can't I figure out the way? Why am I so tempted and pulled to try these things and they never bring me satisfaction? If we pause, if we turn to Scripture, if we look and remember how the story ends, then we will again hear his voice say, I'm with you through all of that. I'm with you through it. I'm with you to take you past it and beyond it. I'm with you to bring you to be with me. Where that little moment that Peter and the others got to have on the mountaintop, seeing me in glory, is what I will share with you. Do you know that awaits us? That glory awaits you and I. That glory where it says that in Scripture that one day our bodies will be transformed. Same word is used there at his transfiguration. They'll be changed. It's metamorpho. That same word we think of with butterflies metamorphing from the little green hungry caterpillar to being the beautiful butterflies that we see. We will also be changed so that our bodies will be like his glorious body. Won't it be nice not to carry around those extra pounds? Won't it be nice not to have that ache of the arthritis or the limitation of the eyes or whatever it is that maybe we don't like or the weakness, the limitations we experience in our own bodies? Imagine being glorified like his, free, where their tears are wiped away, where the darkness is stopped and never there again, where death has no place, neither does pain or suffering or sadness. That is what awaits us as his beloved children. Because of the way that Jesus has made through the cross, it's in the meantime that we face our challenges. And it's in the meantime that we really need to be wary of all of the voices that are out there. The voice of Satan that can pause, why not try this? Everybody does it. God won't notice. If you, no one else sees, you'll get away with it. What's the big deal? Be wary of all the other signs and sounds that try to make an impression on us and steer us away from that path of peace and love and strength that Jesus gives to us. Beware of that, for it's the Spirit speaking that when he whispers, if we'll be still, if we'll spend time in Scripture to let God speak to us, we'll hear his voice above all the others. We'll be able to say, you so wish Adam and Eve had done it, right? When he said, oh, no, if you just eat this fruit, then you'll be like God. If they had paused and said, God, is what this serpent is saying to us really true? If they had just done that, they would have heard his clear, still, loving voice warning and guiding them away from that temptation. And you and I can hear it too. Is it really true that the world says I'm worthless, that I have no purpose? Is it really true that it's, you know, I'm all alone and I'm this sad, lonely feeling's never going to go away? We'll hear his voice whispering to us. We'll hear his assurance and his blessing that they will see no one but Jesus and Jesus only. That's what the disciples saw. It's what you and I can when we turn our eyes to Him, when we turn our eyes to focusing in on Scripture. And as we do that, as we read His Word, we can silence those other voices. We can hear Jesus above all, and all the guidance and all the love that He wants to show us. This Transfiguration Sunday and always, let's listen to Him. Listen to His love. Listen, yes, to His warnings. Listen to His grace to restore us when we have gone astray. Listen to His promises of the better day that is ahead. And listen to Him say, I'm with you through everything in the here and now until we're in the by and by. Amen.